Thanksgiving. Where our founding fathers learned the lesson of independence, they learned the lesson of dependence. And in fact, it was not out of independence that our nation was born, but in fact, it was dependence from which our nation was born. Long before they fought redcoats, they were fighting stuff you couldn't shoot. Remember? Disease, starvation, things that they couldn't stop, attack the innocent, the children, older people, those who were infirm, things they couldn't stop. They weren't ready for independence until they learned the lesson of dependence, and in fact, it was out of dependence that our nation was born. Not independence. Independence was a consequence, a result of our dependence upon God, because you're not ready to independence from anything. You might as well have a dark lord over you if you can't learn the lesson of dependence upon God. We learned that lesson first, and then we were ready for our independence as a nation. Independence, or actually Thanksgiving, is a very national, very American holiday, one of only two countries that I know of that actually observes a holiday of Thanksgiving, us and Canada. I don't know of any other nation that actually has a holiday, and there are other holidays in which we give thanks, but actually only two holidays, only two nations in the world that actually observe this, and it tells, I think, of the condition of our world at a glance. You got all this world, all of us are totally dependent upon God, our next breath is dependent upon God, and yet how many nations actually have a real holiday that says thank you? We are one of only two that I know of. Notice what it says here in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. We find out that Thanksgiving actually is a fork in the road. It's a crossroads for all human beings. It's a place that we come to decide whether we're going to go in the direction that God wants us to go, in the direction of health, mentally, physically, emotionally, or we go in the direction of, let's see what it says here. Watch. It says, verse 21, for even though they knew God, people of the world, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. Notice what happens if you take the wrong fork in the road. You fail to give thanks, what happens? Futility. Futility is a scripture, and the scripture refers to the term of corruption. It just means you go from not so good to even worse. It's just you go into a decline, if you will. You fail to give thanks. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they believed it with all their heart, but their heart was darkened. Thought they were wise, they became fools, it says, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and of crawling creatures. Notice what happens. It just leads us off into pure stupidity. I mean, how stupid can you be falling down before an image that you made with your own hands of some animal that's out there, and you're worshiping it? How stupid can that possibly be? But this is the consequence of what happens when we fail to give thanks, when we come to that fork in the road and we make the wrong decision. The essence of idolatry, literally, is misguided gratitude. Misguided gratitude. Think about it for just a second. The object of our thanks is also the object of our service, be that your job, your money. What do you serve? What are you most happy about? What do you return thanks for? Is it for your stuff, your passions, or is it to God who supplies all these things? Is it your job that supplies your needs? Is it your bank account? Is it your wise investment that supplies your needs? Or is it God who supplies all these things? Question you need to answer, really. Because, like I said, it's a crossroads. It determines where you go. Because misguided gratitude is the essence of idolatry. Senior corporate executives who had a net income of over $1 million a year, a number of them were asked a particular question, polled to see what they credited for their financial success. 99% of them said that it was hard work. 97% said good sense. 83% said high IQ. 62% saying it was being the best in every situation. 32% said pure luck. 0% said God. It wasn't a multiple choice. They were just allowed to fill in a blank. To what do you credit your success? They forgot something, didn't they? Well, yeah, they probably did have an IQ, and yeah, they probably did make some good decisions, and yes, they were probably best, but who gave them those abilities? See, there's no gratitude. And what are they going to do with their stuff the moment after they're dead? What's it going to matter if you made $1 million a year or 1.5 or 3 or 10 or whatever? What's it going to matter? And are you really enjoying it? Arguably you're not, even in this life, what you've got, because you don't know where it comes from. You think it came from you. So again, Thanksgiving is a crossroads. It's a fork in the road. It's where we decide between getting better or getting worse. It's where we decide between futility and having our hearts darkened and thinking that we're wise when in fact we're the most foolish people that there are. That's where it is. That's where Thanksgiving is, that decision. It's where we come to that decision. This morning I'm going to be giving you three things that we can learn about the holiday of Thanksgiving from the Bible. Three things. Are you ready? Number one, Thanksgiving is medicinal. Look again what it says there in verse 21. Notice. For since the creation of the world... I keep trying to read verse 20. Verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. You see where it turns us? But if you give thanks, what happens? This doesn't happen to you. You understand, when our forefathers established the holiday, as we call it, of Thanksgiving, it actually was an event, not a holiday. The holiday, the intent of Thanksgiving is to deliver us from stuff like this. Why has our nation been stable? Why have we made good decisions? Why have we, in the face of many nations that have been totally futile and totally ridiculous and totally incorrigible, you can't even talk to them, why have we gone the right direction? I'm telling you, it's because we learned from the beginning, not independence, but dependence. Not our skills, not our ability, not our know-how, not our technology, not our advancements, not our military, not anything, but thankfulness to God. God to upon whom everything depends. That's what we learned, and that's why we were successful, have been successful as a nation. The only reason. It is medicinal, Thanksgiving is. It delivers us from horrible things. It changes us into something closer to what God wants us to be. There was a marketing group that did a little survey, a little experiment. And what they did, this was in Central Park in New York City. They dressed a guy up with dark sunglasses and complete with a guide dog and everything, even though he wasn't blind, and they set him down as if he were blind, and they put a cup in front of his feet, just sitting there in Central Park, where main corridor, where people were passing, walking by. And he didn't do anything, he didn't say anything, he just had a sign hung around his neck that said, "I am blind." Sat there all day, made $4. Took the same guy, same get up, same everything the same. Same spot, same time of day, everything. And this time, though, they changed the sign. This time it said, "I am blind, and it is spring," which it was. Everything was in bloom, and you know, everything looked really nice. Guess how much money he made that day? $40. He had an idea. You teach people, you help them remember what they actually have to be thankful for, and it changes them. You want people to give, you want people to be generous, you want people to think beyond themselves and think about others. Get them to be thankful. That was their perspective. They were right. It changes us, you see, when we're thankful. When we become self-focused, when we think we only have to think, only person we have to thank is ourselves, then what happens? The world comes apart. Just like Paul explains here in Romans chapter 1. Just exactly like that. So Thanksgiving is medicinal, number two. Thanksgiving, or actually we're told, we are to be giving thanks in everything. In every situation. When you hear the words, "let's give thanks to God," what immediately comes to your mind? If I said, "name things that you're thankful to God for," what's the first thing that comes out of our mouth? Blessings, right? Good stuff. And we should be thankful for those things, shouldn't we? Should be very thankful for the blessings that are in your life. But you know, the Bible says you should be thankful for more than that. Let me show you something. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says this: "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks." Not just the blessings. Not just the stuff you like. Not just the stuff that you really made your day when God allowed that to happen in your life. Yes, you should be thankful for those things, but not just those things, in everything, including the trouble. What burdens? Maybe that'd be a good question to get us in a Thanksgiving season. What burdens do you have to be thankful for this year? You know, we have blessings, but there's also burdens from God. Are they not from the same God? Are they not for the same purpose? You know, we don't see the discipline and the difficult and the strain as being something that is a blessing, but in fact it is. In fact, without some of those things, listen, we wouldn't be the people who we are today. You would not have it together. You would not have your head on your shoulders if God not allowed some tough stuff in your life. And you know it. I know it. There was a group of scientists who sequestered themselves inside of what they called the biosphere. They created this artificial environment, indoor environment. Inside this environment, they were trying to mimic the major climates, the major environmental situations that we find on our planet today. They were able to mimic, for instance, a desert condition, a rainforest condition, even an ocean situation, small, but nonetheless, they were able to mimic it. The single element, though, and all the elements, by the way, they were able to mimic. The single element, though, that they were not able to accurately mimic was, guess what? Wind. Now, you wouldn't think that. You think, well, you get a big fan and you put it over there and you... But they said wind doesn't work that way. Wind comes from different directions. It comes at different speeds. There was no way to make it correct. And so this is what happened after 2 years of sequestering themselves inside this biosphere. The plants that they planted, which grew fabulously, were extremely weak. They were slender. The root system was very poor. And when they actually put on fruit, they would literally fall over. They would break themselves. The plants that they grew outside the biosphere, without those conditions, under the harshness of the area where they were, with the winds and everything, did much better. Couldn't mimic the wind. Why? Because the wind does something to a plant that nothing else can do. Builds a root system, builds a stem system, so when actually it does put on fruit, it could support it. Now, when God allows burdens in your life, is it not for the same reason? Do you not want fruitfulness in your life? Do you not want to bear fruit for God and fruit for others that benefits those around you and that honors God who saved you? Don't you want to do that? Well, can't you understand that some of the burdens He allows in your life is just so that you can do that? So that you can hold up, so that you can actually bear fruit according to the desire that you have and He has especially for you. Winds aren't fun, but they come to make us sturdy so that we won't topple over. And then a third thing about Thanksgiving. Number one, it's medicinal. Number two, it should be in everything. You know what everything means, by the way, in Greek? Everything. That's what it means. It's just very straightforward. Everything. No parameters. Everything, he says. Be thankful. Third thing that we learn from the Bible about Thanksgiving is that it is expected. I don't know if you realize this, but even though we have Christmas and Easter, neither one of those holidays are commanded in the Scriptures. Neither one. In fact, we find no one celebrate them in the Scriptures. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. I'm just saying they're not in there. But I tell you, Thanksgiving's in there. Commanded many, many times. In there. Truly, you think about it, there's no way. I mean, we commercialize and we glamorize these holidays, Christmas, Easter, any other holiday, but it's been very hard to commercialize Thanksgiving, just simply because of the name, if nothing else. The giving of thanks. Think about it, it's the summation of all our other holidays, is it not? What do we do on Christmas? We give thanks. What do we do on Easter? What do we do on 4th of July? Give thanks. To the God. I mean, as Christians we do, don't we? To the God who created us, to the God who allows us to have this nation and have these privileges and these freedoms. It's the summation of all these things. It describes all these things. It's therefore really the only commanded one. Anymore, unfortunately, it seems the condition of our nation is summed up by what a little fourth grader said in a speech about Thanksgiving before his fourth grade class. Listen to what he said. He said this. He said, the pilgrims came here seeking freedom of, you know what. And he said, when they landed, they gave thanks to, well, you know who. And he says, because of them, we worship each Sunday, well, you know where. That's all he said. You know what's a shame to me? It's a shame to me that the statesmen, our founding fathers, some of the most famous Americans, would be objects of scorn if they were with us today. If they said the things that they said 200 years ago and did the things that they did 200 years ago, they would be ridiculed. It's amazing to me that we're at this place. This juncture as a people, as a nation. How did we get here? Amazing. Statesmen, like, listen to what this guy says. Recognize him. George Washington. Concerning Thanksgiving, he says, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God." Is it not? Yes, it is. It is the duty. They don't do it. We only got two nations that have it as a holiday. Tells you the condition of the world we're in. "To be grateful to his benefits, for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor. Now, therefore, I do appoint Thursday, the 26th of November, 1789, that we may all unite to render under him our sincere and humble thanks." Interesting. What about this guy? You know, this guy is, he's touted about as being a deist and not being a Christian, all this stuff, and I don't know. The Lord knows. But listen to his statement concerning Thanksgiving, Thomas Jefferson. I appoint a day of public thanksgiving to Almighty God. Notice, not to some general term, not to you know who or anybody else. "To ask him that he would pour out his Holy Spirit on all ministers of the gospel." Isn't that interesting? This is a public statement from the highest office in our land during his presidency. "That he would, speaking of God, spread the light of Christian knowledge through the remotest corners of the earth, and that he would establish these United States upon the basis of religion and virtue." Wow. That's a little surprising. No doubt this guy wouldn't be. Abraham Lincoln. "I therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States to observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." There you have from the top office. You know, these guys today would be politically incorrect, wouldn't they? Very much so. So should we. So should we be. Thanksgiving. Who cares what they say or what they think? You and I know. I know on what side my bread gets buttered. I know where it's coming from. I know to whom belongs the thanks. Listen, we have the responsibility. I can't, even though I grieve for our nation, I can't expect a lost world and lost people to think correctly. We just told here that when you don't return thanks, when you don't know God, you're messed up anyway. You become futile in your speculations. Their foolish heart is darkened. Professing to be wise, they become fools. It's a description of our nation. We can't do anything about them. We can't stop them. Can't change them. It's in the Lord's hands, right? But what we can do, what we can change, is us. I can change what I do. I can change my attitude. I can change the direction I go. I can change the decisions I make. I am responsible. I will be held responsible for that. And so will you. Let's pray together.